your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
Welcome to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David Thompson. I want to thank you for listening, and thanks for telling a friend, subscribing, all that good stuff, here in the studio with C.K. Thompson and Mike Thompson, and we're continuing a conversation from last time, where we just ran out of time, and so now we're going to go ahead and finish it up this time, and I want to just jump straight to it. So I'm just going to go to C.K., and you were talking about the election 2012 and how the Lord was dealing with you about that and the dreams and visions you had. So
okay.
Go ahead and take it away.
All right. I'll do it. Thank you, Brian. And welcome, everyone. We were talking about how the Lord was dealing with Obama, President Obama,
mm-hmm.
as we came into the election season in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I would understand what was going on in the heavenlies, in the atmosphere. I'm not saying I know everything.
Yeah.
And the purposes of God and how much he cared about the individuals who are in authority in countries, presidents, senators, representatives, governors, kings, and queens, those in authority over the kingdoms of this world, because the Lord deals with their hearts. That's why we're told to pray for those in authority. He's trying to superimpose the kingdom of heaven over the kingdoms of men. And so under the influence of the Holy Spirit, I had a prophetic psalm in August of 2010 that surprised me
mm-hmm.
that the Lord was crying out to President Obama to make a right choice. And at the time, the thing that surprised me the most was the emotion that I felt behind it. You know, you pick up on how the Holy Spirit feels, how the Lord feels about people and situations.
Sure.
And during that time, even for weeks longer maybe, I kept hearing God's heart. I kept hearing him crying out, "Obama, Obama, choose rightly." And people need to realize that God's mercy endures forever, even towards people that we don't agree with very much. Whether you agree with them or not, God needs prophets and prophetic people to be credible, that are not, you know, swayed by their own personal feelings when it comes to these things.
Right.
They need to be trustworthy that they mm-hmm. were going to represent God's heart and how he feels.
That can be tough sometimes.
It can. And it's hard for him to find people that won't, you know, throw their own slant on it.
Right.
And change the minds of entire groups of believers. And we're the ones that he gave authority in the earth to speak his purposes into the atmosphere under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And if we are misleading the people of God according to our own personal opinions, we're going to have to answer to God for that. That's usurping his position.
Yeah.
He's expecting us.
Yeah, it can be a dangerous place to be.
Oh, totally. He's expecting us to represent what he wants, not what we want. And so any prophet worth their salt, whatever they say, must set aside their own feelings and represent how the Lord feels about things to the best of our ability. And so that's what we were talking about. And as God dealt with Obama, then President Obama, as we approached the 2012 presidential election, the outcome was hidden from me because God was still dealing with Obama's heart. And God was waiting for Obama to make certain choices. And for months, if we don't know what God's doing, we don't get it. God's people need to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So they know how to pray, how to speak. So the Lord said, he was saying these things to his people, "Don't judge by what you see and what you hear." And as I said earlier, our last podcast,
right.
I said, I am accustomed to seeing and perceiving situations pretty much as just a way of life. But leading up to the 2012 presidential election, I just couldn't see. This was very disturbing to me. I'm not used to that. It was hidden. Man, I'm used to knowing what people are thinking. I'm used to knowing what they're saying. I know what, I surely do know what they're saying about us. I've had specific dreams where the Lord showed me their faces and let me hear what they said about us. Mm-hmm. And
I've heard some of this. Yeah.
You've heard some of those.
I have, yeah.
And I mean, during one dream, I was actually the table. I was the table while the people are gathered around the table, supposedly people that love us. Mm-hmm. And they were gathered around the table, and they were just having us for dinner,
right.
Mike and me. And I was there. They didn't know I was the table. And I watched, and I could hear what each one of them was saying about us. That's what the Lord does with me. I know what they're saying.
Uh-huh.
But I never tell them. I have some fear of God about this stuff. He's showing me for a reason.
Right. And not to just blab every single thing that happens.
I don't go out blabbing, and I'm not going to go tell them, the Lord told me you said blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I think it would scare the snot out of them if they knew that I knew what they've said.
Yeah, probably.
And some people listening right now, mm-hmm. I know what you've said about me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I love you. I don't care what you said about me. It hurts, but I refuse to not love you. So, whatever. God's got my back. And apparently, he didn't have yours in that situation. Uh-huh. He let me know what you said.
Uh-huh.
You know, might want to keep that in mind next time before you start shooting off your mouth. All right. Okay. I'm going to move right along.
Yeah.
God bless people's pointed little heads. All right.
A little fear of the Lord is a good thing.
It is. They need to have some fear of God. They do.
Right.
They need to respect God and his people, especially his ministers.
Mm-hmm.
Have some respect for prophets. We're not quite as stupid as we look, okay?
Zing.
Okay, so it was disturbing to me that I couldn't see. Coming in a 2012 presidential election. I'm just not used to that. It was hidden. But then something happened on October 11, 2012. Something very supernatural. I heard the gavel drop in the courtroom of heaven. I mean, I woke up, and as I was waking up, I heard the gavel drop. It was on the date. The date was 10-11-12. October 11, 2012. What I didn't know was that at the very exact same time, Mike was in the kitchen having an encounter with the Lord.
Oh, yeah?
And the Lord was introducing him to Michael the Archangel at the exact same time.
Really?
Yeah. We were having a supernatural visitation at our house.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I didn't know that was going on with Mike, and he didn't know that was going on with me.
Hmm.
And the really weird thing was, for both of us, it was all in the book of Daniel.
Mm, wow.
So I heard the gavel drop, and this is what was going on with me, and then maybe Mike would want to share briefly what was going on with him. Might think about it there, babe. My Bible's open to it here. I've got the Amplified. But what I wrote down here is, Obama gave himself over to the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. I opened my Bible when I woke up after I heard the gavel drop. I woke up, sat up, opened my Bible, which I keep right there. My Amplified, my trusty Amplified. Yes, I do read other translations. Don't worry. Okay. But I love the Amplified. And it fell open to Daniel. Now, here's the thing. I have an angel that turns... Okay, it makes me giggle because people, I don't know whether they believe me or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some people do.
Yeah, I know people believe you.
There's some people that probably think I've got bats in my belfry. I don't know. There's an angel that turns the pages of my Bible. And whatever passage the Lord wants me to read, the angel puts it there. And I know that sounds strange. But it's been going on for like years. I'm talking like a couple decades.
Yeah, it doesn't sound strange to me, but
I'm used to it.
Yeah.
And it happened so much. At first, I thought it was my imagination. But after, you know, a couple decades, you kind of figure it out.
Right.
That's just the Lord. That's an angel. There's an angel there. I have seen these amazing angels. They show up beside the bed. I saw the silver bullet. I forgot about the silver bullet.
I remember that one.
And I even texted Kathy Walters. I know, this is an aside. I'll get back to this. The silver bullet. I texted Kathy because I just wanted to know if she'd ever seen anything like that. Kathy Walters.
Oh, right.
And she didn't tell me whether she'd seen anything like it. She said, but what did it say? Man. I forgot.
You didn't ask.
I didn't pay attention because I was so busy looking at the silver bullet. But it was like it was his armor is what it was.
Yeah.
He was taller than the house. But he had this armor on that had, it didn't have arms and legs like we would think of as an armor.
Sure. Yeah.
He was just encapsulated inside this silver, I mean, shiny silver thing. It was almost kind of reddish silver. It went up taller than the house.
Oh, wow.
I woke up and here is this thing standing beside the bed.
Just a very non-traditional armor.
Yes. It was his armor. He was inside there.
Uh-huh.
He was a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And, and he actually reached through the armor somehow and handed me a piece of paper with basically our marching orders. That was right before the Lord dealt with us to move to Las Vegas.
Okay.
And I didn't even realize that that's what was going on.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I have these odd things that happen with angels when I wake up in the morning.
Sure.
Forgot about the silver bullet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, after she said that, I went back and, okay, Lord, would you please let me see that note again? And he did. I mean, because that's the point. He wants you to, he's not like, oh, too bad for you. You screwed up.
You missed it. Too bad.
Yeah.
Now you're done.
He made sure I saw it. So back to my Bible, fell open to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel turned the page. And whatever passage the Lord wants me to read, the angel puts it there. And that sounds strange. But I open my Bible, and then I turn and I take a sip of tea. And then when I turn back, my Bible is turned open to a completely different place. And I'd like to point out that I don't have fans going on or anything like that.
Right.
There's nothing that's blowing the pages. My windows aren't open.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens.
It's supernatural.
It does. There's been more than one time since we moved to Las Vegas that my Bible actually showed up on the bed and opened itself. I mean, I didn't even put it there. It just showed up.
Oh, wow.
And it was open. And another time was Kim Clements' book, Call Me Crazy, But I'm Hearing God.
Okay.
It showed up on my bed like a day before he passed away, before he went to heaven.
Oh, really?
It showed up on my bed. It had been on the dresser for a couple years, actually.
Really?
And all of a sudden, it was on my bed.
Wow.
And I did not know what that was about until that night when I saw the announcement that Kim Clement had gone home.
Uh-huh.
And I freaked. And then I had a vision about that. And you can read about it on our website.
Uh-huh.
www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org if you want to read about that. I don't have time right now to talk about it. But
right.
God, I mean, that angel put Kim Clements' book on my bed.
Wow.
And I found out later that it actually showed up right about the time he actually left the planet and went to heaven. Yeah.
Oh.
I thought it was like the day before.
Uh-huh.
And I found out later they didn't tell us until later.
Wow.
So it was there.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I got some angelic activity going on involving books and mostly the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord and the angels cared about Kim Clement leaving. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We needed Kim, and I still just, to me, I'm just not okay with it that he left. But I did have a vision of him after that.
Uh-huh.
And so it's on there if you want to read about it.
There you go.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to this. I don't want to cry. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, my Bible was open to a completely different place. So I started reading. It was open to the book of Daniel. And then let me note that Michael, I'm reading some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Michael, the archangel, helped with the warfare in the heavenlies during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. From the time that Daniel, who was a type of the body of Christ in this situation, he set himself to understand. It took 21 days for the answer to reach him because of the warfare in the heavenlies. And while I was reading about that, my husband was doing warfare in the heavenlies in my kitchen with Michael the Archangel. And when it was over, the Lord introduced you to him. I was going to let you tell about that, but I'm right in the middle. Let me finish this little story, and then you can tell me, okay? People would like to hear about it. The Lord pointed out to me the watchers in Daniel 4:13. And I think I've got it open here to it so that I can read it to you real quickly. That, you know, and I really relate to Daniel a lot because he talks a lot about the signs and wonders, the dreams of the night that kind of like we're crazy making a little bit unless angels or the Lord showed up and told him what it was about. He had dreams and visions in the night, and it would actually cause him to lose his physical strength. And that happens to me. I know it might fly in the face of some people's doctrine, but I have experienced this a lot, in fact. He said the visions of my head on my bed, and then he talks about these things. This happens to me all the time, visions of my head in my bed. And but here's what he said in chapter 4, verse 13. I saw in the visions of my head, as I lay on my bed, I'm sorry, girl, I keep saying, it almost sounds like, sounds like Dr. Seuss.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like green eggs and ham? Okay, no, I'm sorry. I saw the visions of my head as I lay on my bed. Okay, I'm not going to laugh. Okay. And behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. There are holy watchers, and they're watching. They're angels is what they are. The holy watchers, they're angels.
Okay. Angels that watch.
They watch.
Yeah.
They watch what's going on. And there are heavenly watcher angels. That's what they're called. And there are actually, the Lord told me, and I have actually met several new ones that have been dispatched to the earth in recent years, probably like the last decade. There were new angels. And they were watchers for a while because he dispatched them for this season in the earth. And their job was to get to know you. So that you're prepared for this season. Their job was, they were watching you for a while. They're following you around and watching you and learning how you operate and function. And then once they are released to start interacting with you and helping you, they're going to help you, and then it's already begun. I remember when I first ran into some, I started This is kind of almost like old news. I haven't talked about that for a while. The Watcher Angels. This is their first time to be on planet Earth. Some of these.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they were really excited about it. And they want to do a good job. They've been hearing all about it, but they hadn't been dispatched down here yet.
Oh.
Until the last few years. Probably the last 5 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe longer. I'm thinking maybe, because the ones that I first ran into were in 2008 in a hotel room in Salem, Oregon.
Oh,
I ran
really?
I turned around, ran smack into them. And they were like, everywhere I went, there they were. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what's going on? And that's what he told me about the angels, the watchers. But I didn't realize it was actually in the Bible. They were watching us. Until they got to know us. And see, they are the real deal. They are the genuine that, like New Agers and what do we call them? Familiar spirits. Familiar spirits are the counterfeit of the Watcher Angels. So familiar spirits understand and know people because they're demons. Familiar spirits are demons that hang out and watch people, and they've known people for generations and decades and centuries. And then they come back and present themselves as like a ghost or something to people that don't know the Word of God. Familiar spirits are demonic. And a lot of people don't know that. And so they think that, wow, this person contacted my Uncle Fred, and they knew, it really was my Uncle Fred, because they knew everything that only Uncle Fred would know. No, the only other person that would know would be his familiar spirit. And so there are demonic spirits out there. You don't just open yourself up to every single thing that comes along. You really do have to have discerning of spirits.
Oh, of course.
Understand and recognize the form of the Lord, and don't just accept everything hook, line, and sinker. That the enemy shows up sometimes as a angel of light. You got to know. You got to know the Word, and you got to be smart enough. Don't kiss your brains goodbye and just receive everything just because it's supernatural. Doesn't mean it's God. Anyway,
you gotta watch the source.
Yeah, the source. What's that coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So there are holy watcher angels, and that's where they get the counterfeit of familiar spirits. I just thought I'd throw that in. Some people need to know that.
Yeah, good info.
Yeah. So these heavenly watcher angels have been waiting for a long time, I guess. I'm not sure how they measure time, because in heaven there is no time. But they've really been anticipating coming and being part of the revival that's coming into the earth. And the Lord said to me, he asked me, so what do you see? And I said, I'm not sure. When he's talking about the watcher angels.
Yeah.
Is this making sense?
Yeah.
This is making sense. Okay.
Well, of course it is.
All right. I feel like I'm kind of all over the map here.
Oh.
That's why I don't talk about this stuff very much. It's so involved.
Sure.
That, man. Okay.
Good. It needs to be talked about.
People, I think, are really interested in these things.
Oh, for sure.
So the Lord said, what do you see? And I said, I'm not sure, Lord. And he said, well, write what you see. And I felt like I was like in grade school or something. And I said, okay, I'll write. And here's what I wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I saw Barack Obama operating in the spirit of King Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm going to look at this other page real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because Obama had given himself over to the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I don't remember if I mentioned that or not.
Not yet.
Now
we know.
And I didn't realize that part until I looked further. And the Lord said, what do you see? Well, Obama gave himself over to the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. I didn't quite expect that. I thought that with all these dealings with Obama, that God was, bringing him around and revealing himself to him and all that kind of stuff. And he, not for lack of trying, the Lord had been dealing with his heart for years, probably. Not just months, but especially months. He really was laying it on.
Hmm.
But Barack Obama...
Mm-hmm.
Gave himself over to the spirit of King of Nebuchadnezzar, which would be like the spirit of King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel.
Right.
And his whole thing was, I am God. That's Nebuchadnezzar's thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was the king who built a golden image of himself and commanded all the people to bow down to it. They were to bow down at the sound of his musicians, which in this case... It was the drumbeat of the media and the social elite. Now, remember what year this was.
Yeah.
This is 2012.
Mm-hmm.
The media and the social elite. This included Hollywood. Most of Hollywood were the people that helped Obama demand that people bow down to him. These are those whom the people watch continually in order to know what to do and think. Kind of powerful, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Kind of doesn't make you want to throw your TV away for a while? Or turn it off? Well, at least turn it off.
Yeah.
Okay. Israel is represented by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Israel was not impressed with Obama's half-built golden image. We're talking about Israel, the country of Israel, in the here and now. Is this making sense now, how I'm sharing this? Okay, they're not impressed with Obama's, with him or his half-built golden image to himself. That was in 2012. They would never bow down to it. But Obama was caught up in the worship of his own golden image, his agenda for our country. That was his golden image, his legacy, his agenda for America. Many Americans have bowed down to his image. And I put bowed down. I've got air quotes going on here.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Even while it was still being built, on the global scale, Europe bowed down to his golden image, even though it wasn't finished yet. And Obama desired that the whole world would bow down. And he knew that Israel never would. And that was the foremost issue God had in dealing with him.
Really?
Yeah, in dealing with President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the Nebuchadnezzar thing, but the way that he set himself up as God, a God, and demanded Israel to bow down. Under the influence of Nebuchadnezzar and that spirit, the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar, Obama wanted Israel to bow down to him, and if they wouldn't, he would be willing to sell them out, throw them under the bus, to Iran, for instance, like the Iran deal, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone ended up with the capacity to, well, I'll hold off on that. Obama's dilemma was that he didn't really want to cast Israel into the fiery furnace because he still had some fear of other people. See, his big dilemma is that he was trying to keep everybody happy. He wanted everyone to love him because, after all, he was Nebuchadnezzar mm-hmm. and he was God.
Yeah.
Everyone should bow down and love him. So that was tricky for him. He didn't like it if people didn't like him.
Sure.
He's going to bow down and kiss their butts all over, on his annual apology tours. Okay, I'm
right.
Sorry. I don't know if it was annual or not, but he did go on apology tours just to get them all to, okay, I'm going to stop mm-hmm. saying kiss his butt. What's a better way to say that? Kiss his butt. I can't think of one right now. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, that'll work.
That works. People know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
He was caught up in the worship of his own golden image and his agenda for our country. And the people, a lot of Americans, did bow down to his image while it was still being built. And on the global scale, Europe bowed down and all of that. Okay, so then Obama's dilemma was that he didn't really want to cast Israel into the fiery furnace. But he was that dedicated to his own plan for America, which was anti-God's purposes for our country, that he was willing to sacrifice Israel if that's what it took. Mm-hmm. He welcomed ruling spirits of Jezebel from Europe, and you're going to have to think about that, and maybe listen to this again, and Ishmael, he welcomed ruling spirits. Notice, ruling spirits
mm-hmm.
of Ishmael from Muslim countries to take up residence in the U.S. He wanted their help to influence and change our nation. But there are holy watchers in the secret places, in the hidden places. Praise God for the holy watchers. Watching what's happening behind closed doors. By his dealings in the Mideast, not only refusing to protect Israel, but allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to rise up in our country and giving Iran nuclear capabilities. And because of his total disregard for the safety of Israel and the safety of God's people, the safety of Christians in America, Barack Obama will be brought down. Mm. Now that's what he told me then. He mm-hmm. will be brought down. God pleaded with Obama, but Obama preferred to be revered by men. He has no desire to please the God of heaven. He is proud of heart, and God resists the proud. And here's a little bit more of what I saw, and then I'm going to end for today.
Okay.
Thank you for bearing with me, you guys. This has been a tough one.
Well, it's been good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. These things matter to God, and he wants his people to know about it and to be aware of what's happening in the heavenlies. There was a time that Barack Obama did look to God. I'm talking about years and years ago.
Hmm.
People don't even realize it.
Yeah.
But once he got into political office, he said in his heart, "My own power has given this country into my hand. At that time he began to give himself over to the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar and started building the golden image to himself. If Obama were to be elected for another term, which he was, okay.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, in case you didn't catch that.
Yeah.
I'm reading this stuff that I wrote back then.
Uh-huh.
If Obama were to be elected for another term, he would finish building his golden image, and Israel would surely be cast into the fiery furnace. But remember, this is what the Lord said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered from the fiery furnace. There is a great awakening still to take place before the culmination of all things on earth. Obama also held up the last day's transfer of wealth for God's people in America. That's a biggie to God.
Yeah.
In the timetable of God, this is just not acceptable. President Obama betrayed God's heart. God dealt with him, and he betrayed God's heart. He was the first American president in the history of our country to take on the Nebuchadnezzar spirit. He's the very first president to say, basically, I am God, and I won't protect Israel because they don't see me as God. Thus, he has allowed the enemies of God to arise all around Israel.
Wow.
And us. This president has betrayed God's trust, not just his heart. He betrayed his trust. I felt the Lord dealing with him at length about it. Obama struggled in his own heart for months leading up to this day. He had made his choice, and that choice, sadly, in 2012, was to give himself fully to the Nebuchadnezzar spirit. It's like the Lord asked him, is that your final answer? And he said, yes, final answer. Therefore, this is what I heard, by the decree of the holy heavenly watchers, therefore the kingdom, America, is removed from Obama's hand.
Is that when you heard the gavel fell?
And that's when I heard the gavel drop.
That's what I thought.
Absolutely. And people need to hear this. They need to hear it and know it, because they're all afraid about what he's doing right now in Washington and setting up a shadow government and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
God is not going to allow it, because this is the deal. The kingdom is removed by the decree of the holy heavenly watchers. I don't care if he moved right next door to the White House.
Yeah.
The kingdom is removed from Obama's hand, period. Please note, when the prophet Samuel said those very words to King Saul, you know, Saul and David and all that.
Right.
Saul remained king of Israel for about 14 more years.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't happen immediately.
Right.
But his influence and favor with God were gone. Understand how these prophetic things work.
Mm-hmm.
Understand how prophetic this is. It starts in the spirit first, and then it shows up in the natural later. God has removed his favor from Obama, period. Daniel 4:17 says, this sentence is by the decree of the heavenly watchers, and the decision is by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the humblest and lowliest of men. The heavenly watchers made a decree. This kingdom will be entrusted to another. The one who fears God, he is the humblest and lowliest of these men. And even though this was written in 2012, this was not talking about Romney. I knew it then.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know who he was talking about yet. God gives it to whomever he will. And as an aside, the Lord told me last year that Donald Trump was that humble man. Last year he told us that. Last year Mike had a vision about Donald Trump, and it really blew us away because we try to keep politics out of the church.
Right.
But the Lord gave us the Donald Trump assignment.
Yeah.
He said he is a humble man, but that many people, including many Christians, rejected the vessel.
Mm-hmm.
They judged Donald Trump by the seeing of the eyes and the hearing of the ears, and they rejected him as a vessel of God.
Mm-hmm.
And nevertheless, God will use Donald Trump to bring God's agenda to America, especially revival and the restoration of the spirit of prosperity in our country, which is God's will and the destiny of America.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can win souls, so that we can take the gospel to the nations, and that we can also reclaim our own country for the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, it's important.
It is, absolutely. This is what God had in mind. And it wasn't, I mean, this was 2012. After the, oh, the one thing the Lord said to me was, after the election, Obama will eventually slip away to another country.
Wow.
Possibly run away. It felt like after something was brought into the light and exposed. I feel that he will be somewhere in Africa or possibly South America. But it won't be, I don't know how long something's going to come up and Obama will actually leave the country in order to not be arrested or whatever. He's going to be exposed. And so I just wanted to share a glimpse into what God is doing in the heavenlies. And take it how you want to and pray about this. I wanted to share a glimpse into my world. And sometimes the Lord tells you something that won't happen for decades. And, you know, prophetically. And other times, you just got to understand the timing of God. That he has a plan and he will not allow the enemy to win. And God is really blessed by his people right now because they actually took a stand. People, you took a stand. You prayed, you fasted, you voted, you went out on a limb, you took a stand against all of the, all like Hollywood and Nebuchadnezzar's musicians and everybody that was demanding that you bow down.
Right.
It was the body of Christ and specifically the prophetic people. God used apostles and prophets to bring in this president. And I would encourage every single person out there to start looking at President Trump differently. He's not a buffoon, not by any stretch. He's an anointed man of God. Pray for this man. He has wisdom beyond what you would imagine. And not only that, he loves to hear what God is doing. This man loves to hear prophetic things. When prophetic people start talking, I mean, Lance Wall now and different ones, he said that when you start talking about prophetic things, Donald Trump just stops what he's doing and listens. He wants to know what God is saying.
Real. Yeah,
he really
for
does.
Real.
Either his grandparents or his great-grandparents. I think it was grandparents. They were part of the Hebrides revival in Scotland. He's got
that.
It in his blood, in his DNA. That man's an anointed man.
Yeah.
So do not judge by the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ears, but hear the word of the Lord. And such as I have, give I thee. I know it was a lot.
Yeah, well said.
And I hope it's a blessing to you, and I hope it gives you a lot to pray about and cogitate on. And God bless you. And I appreciate every single one that has been listening. And just remember that God loves you, and you have a powerful destiny. And it's because of you that God is taking steps to keep his promises of destiny to America and the nations, any nation like that, because of you, his people. It's your day. It's your time. This is the time for revival. This is the time for the most mighty revival that this planet has ever seen. And the election of Donald Trump was basically the last piece of the puzzle. So don't stop praying and don't keep listening to the media and getting all up in a snit about it. Don't worry about it. Don't get carried away with all of the people getting all wrapped up in this issue and that. All of the crisis, all the drama. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
The drama.
Yeah, there's been a lot of drama.
It's just the enemy trying to keep stirring the pot because this revival that is now touching down, which Mike saw. And I don't know if we have time to talk about it on this one. Mike saw revival hanging in the heavenlies, and that's what Michael the Archangel showed him, was revival in the atmosphere over the United States of America.
Yeah.
And that it's getting ready to touch down, and he said that this election was going to be the turning point. Yeah. This is
It's been a major shift.
Absolutely. Watch and see what God does, and don't listen to the media. Start rejoicing and praising and worshiping God and giving thanks. develop a grateful heart because God has saved our country. He's saving your loved ones. He has saved America. He's going to prosper you if you believe it. Your best days are ahead. So don't listen to the media. They just want to, they're basically telling you hell's version of it. I just got done telling you heaven's version of it to the best of my ability. And I bless you and God bless you richly in Jesus' name.
All right. That's good. I want to thank everyone for listening and we'll catch you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.